This episode of Burnt Toast is brought to you by Jet.com, a shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the things you're buying anyway, like groceries and home essentials. For 20% off your first two fresh orders, visit Jet.com and enter the code Burnt Toast at checkout. I'm Kenzie Wilver, and this is Food 52's Burnt Toast. Whether or not you watched when the first run of Twin Peaks aired on national TV in 1990, you're probably familiar with its world. Twin Peaks is a paragon David Lynch crime drama. It's dark, it's creepy, it's incredibly twisted, and it's also silly in a way that makes you double-take during almost every scene. If you've watched, you know FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper. He's played by Kyle MacLachlan, who, in the show, is sent to the fictional town of Twin Peaks to investigate the murder of a local high school student, Laura Palmer. Agent Cooper is the center of the show. He's a quirky guy and a brilliant investigator, and he loves a diner slice of cherry pie and a good cup of black coffee. So much so that those have become the unofficial foods of Twin Peaks. So, naturally, that's what we asked him to make when he swung by the Food 52 offices in honor of the show's reboot. And not that we doubted him, but he was remarkably adept at rolling out pie dough.
Hey guys, I'm Erin McDowell, and I'm here in the test kitchen with the amazing actor Kyle MacLachlan, who's joining us today. We're going to make some pie together, cherry pie.
What? Why did you choose cherry pie?
I don't know why would we do that. I mean, we got coffee, so we have fuel for our pie making process. Mm.
Nice. All right, can we give it a try?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm ready if you are.
I'm ready. Going in. Mmm.
Yes! My life / week / month is complete.
While he was here, we stole a few minutes to ask him about Twin Peaks and food and his own life in the food industry as a winemaker. Just a heads up, if you hear a fork clinking in the background here or there, that's because we weren't in our studio like we normally are. We were in our office eating pie. So it's kind of funny, actually, when we heard that you were coming through, we were super excited. We were like, we have to make cherry pie with Kyle. It's a no-brainer. But it occurs to me now, like, that could mean absolutely nothing to you at all. Of all the food references in Twin Peaks, do you have a favorite? Is there one that you gravitate more toward?
Well, I think cherry pie is a good one. You know, I think that was actually the best choice to have made. It's hard to make donuts. To make it interesting, cherry pie at least has a process, so that's good. And there's no hot oil to get, you know, sort of involved with, which is nice too. And it's a lot more interesting than grinding up coffee. So I think that cherry pie was a perfect choice.
It is a lot more interesting than grinding up coffee. That one made for a really short video.
Very short.
The cherry pie is recurring. It's usually slung alongside coffee at the Twin Peaks Institution Double R Diner. After just a few episodes, you know that diner inside and out. You know the pie, and you know the damn fine coffee.
You know, this is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee. I've had, I can't tell you how many cups of coffee in my life, and this is one of the best.
There's coffee, there's cherry pie, there are piles and piles of donuts. What is it like to act alongside food when it's a character in your show?
It's really hard because food upstages everybody all the time. Food can be tricky only because obviously you're looking for continuity. So if you take a bite of something at a certain point, you're going to have to repeat that action in a different size of lens and a different point of view of the camera. So you have to go in thinking ahead of time kind of where you might want to accent something with a bite or whatever. A lot of times if the food is in hour, you know, 12, although they do a real good job of keeping it, you know, fresh, you end up pushing the food around on the plate. I'm a big believer in like just taking and jumping in and taking a big bite because I think it's sort of natural and also more fun to act around food and use it as a tool.
How would you describe Agent Cooper's attitude toward food in Twin Peaks?
Oh, we have very strong opinions about food and particularly obviously coffee, donuts, cherry pie, pancakes, maple syrup, ham, those kind of things. I always thought he was, it was really just about the experience of food with him. And I think in Twin Peaks, food serves also as a metaphor. So if there is something, let's say, rotten in the state of Denmark, to use a Hamlet quote, mm-hmm. For instance, fish in the percolator, it means that something is amiss and not right. And when the world is all good and everything is fine, then the food echoes that. And I think that's what Cooper would sort of, what he would bring to his experience with food.
Yeah.
Also just a pure, absolute, focused joy.
Yeah.
About the experience. And he would enjoy the food on a number of different levels. How it looked, how it smelled, how it tasted, all those things.
The fish Kyle's talking about is from a scene in the very first episode of the original series.
Fellas, don't drink that coffee. You'd never guess. There was a fish in the percolator. Sorry.
So David Lynch once said that you should keep your, when you're watching Twin Peaks, you should keep your eyes on the donuts because they're a moment for a sort of levity in the midst of a bunch of uneasiness. And I'm curious if you were given a directive like that when you were working on the first seasons.
Not a directive as such, but I did recognize when David would want to infuse the scene with a little lightheartedness or spontaneity or something unexpected. For instance, when I tweak Michael Onkin's nose in the first series, it just was something that he just suggested I give it a try in this moment. And so I just did it. And it's exactly that. It's something that sort of jerks you out of something that might be a little more serious maybe. And just reminds you that it's not all bad.
I love it. It sort of, it makes you do a double take. Like anytime there's a donut, there's almost usually a pile of donuts and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Double stacked. Yeah. It was like the thing with the llama when it came through.
Yes.
That was just supposed to cross through the frame and that was going to be the humor of it. And then, well, for whatever reason, the llama decided to stop and look me straight in the face. And so I looked back at it and then, continued on out and we held the scene, but that was not supposed to happen. So that was what David likes to call happy accidents. And he likes to incorporate those as much as possible.
So good.
Thanks.
I can't not bring up Agent Cooper's quote about giving yourself a gift every day. Mm. I know it's your character's line, but is that something that you also sort of believe in?
You know, I believe in it. I don't always do it. But I am pretty good about taking a moment in the day just for me. You know, it's one of those things, whether I'm, you know, working away on something and I have a few minutes to either work in the kitchen, perhaps make something, or just sit down and play a quick game of Sudoku, you know, for fun. You know, that's a kind of a present just to take my mind off something. So, yeah, I believe in that, but I don't, you know, plan it out. Well, that's what he says. Don't plan it. Just let it happen. Exactly right.
Every day. Once a day, give yourself a present. Don't plan it. Don't wait for it. Just let it happen. It could be a new shirt at the men's store, a catnap in your office chair, or two cups of good, hot, black coffee.
We'll be back after the break. We're brought to you today by Jet.com, a shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the things that you're picking up anyway. What I love about it is that you can get your groceries at the same time as your toothpaste, at the same time as your Ziploc bags, at the same time as your cereal. They really do have everything. The other week, I shopped for dinner and browsed through their selection of produce and dairy while I stocked up on some very fancy shampoo I've been meaning to try, because priorities. All you do is pick out your groceries from their huge assortment of fresh produce and staples. They also have a ton of organic, gluten-free, kosher, and vegan choices, and then they get delivered right to your door. Mine arrived safe and sound just 2 days later. And you don't need to schedule a delivery time and wait around for it. Jet.com uses packaging that keeps everything fresh and cold until you get home. For 20% off your first two fresh orders over $35 with a maximum discount of $30, visit jet.com and enter the code BURNTTOAST at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. See jet.com for details.
I tend to be a I was thinking about this the other day as I was having my lunch. For lunch, I like to sit with like a cutting board and have like a little bit of cheese, some olives, maybe some cherry tomatoes. There might be a cucumber in there.
Very civilized.
What's that?
Very civilized.
Very civilized. Yeah, but it's kind of like what we called a, I guess, in the lines of like a plowman's lunch in English terms. So you'd have like a little bit of cheese, you'd have like a little bit of protein and all this kind of stuff. And you sort of make it as you go. So I like the idea of combining stuff. And I think it's probably why I also enjoy the winemaking that I do in Eastern Washington, because it's about combining the different varietals to make something, hopefully, you know, better. But I'm a combiner.
Moving away from the fictional town of Twin Peaks for a second.
Fictional? Sorry.
I love it. I wish not. So how did you get into making wine?
I started in 2005. And before, I've always enjoyed wine ever since I wasn't supposed to. So, but in 2005 was my first vintage. And I'd met a fellow named Eric Dunham, who lived in Walla Walla and had a winery down there, Dunham Cellars. And he and I hit it off. And I mentioned to him one day that I was kind of interested in doing this. And he said, well, let's do it together. And I said, great. So it really started as casual as that. And it was just going to be a hobby. And I made 300 cases and enjoyed the experience. And so cut to 12 years later, I now have three wines that I make, a cab, a Syrah, and a rosé, which I started last year, which is a lot of fun. And it's becoming like a legitimate business. Summer water. I've never heard it described like that. That's great.
Oh, really?
Summer water. That's perfect.
Yeah. I can't claim it, but yeah.
Summer water that gets you a little buzzed.
Yes,
is even, exactly. Even better.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah. So that's how it all started.
So Kyle's wine, Pursued by Bear, is made in Walla Walla, Washington, not far from where Twin Peaks was set, but also just a few hours from where Kyle grew up.
When I started it, my dad was still alive, and it was an opportunity to go back to visit him because I was finding I wasn't getting home that much. Yakima isn't necessarily easy to get to between Los Angeles and New York, where I spend most of my time. So
it's not on the way.
Not on the way. So I would be home with him, and we'd get together, and we would drive down and do this thing together. I think probably I'm like a son with most fathers, is you've got to be doing something together to have a conversation or to spend time with each
not
other.
Not just sitting around and sitting.
Yeah, it's not like pouring a cup of coffee and sitting down and talking with each other. We don't do that.
Yes.
But we can be talking in the garden. We can be playing golf together. We can go on a little wine trip, you know. Right. It's we're better facing out than facing each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that very well.
Okay.
Can you explain the name to us?
Pursued by Bear. Well, Pursued by Bear is perhaps the most famous or recognized stage direction in all of Shakespeare's plays, maybe all plays ever. And the full stage direction is Exit Pursued by a Bear. And Antigonus is chased off the stage and actually partially consumed. Not so much that they don't recognize who it is, so that's sort of gruesome. So the bear must have started at the bottom and worked its way up. Anyway, and it's just, it just struck me as something that would be sort of appropriate in a way. You know, it's slightly audacious, the idea of a bear running across stage chasing an actor, certainly back in that time. And I thought, well, that's kind of like the idea of me making wine, isn't it? So I thought, well, it sort of harkens back to my stage roots a little bit, and also is a little bit unexpected. And I thought, no, we'll see. And the last and most important thing was it was available as a trademark.
Yes, so that, right. There you go.
Other things I tried. Let's not forget. Yeah.
And in a way, it kind of makes sense that Kyle ended up making wine in the Pacific Northwest.
I lived in, grew up in Yakima, which is right on the eastern side of Washington, where there's just a tremendous amount of fruit and vegetable production there. And so we would have fresh fruits and vegetables all summer long. And I had my favorites. My dad had a garden in the back, and he would grow zucchinis, shell peas, raspberries, carrots, everything. And so we would just pull this stuff out of the garden. And so it was super fresh. That's what I grew up with. And yeah, it's one of those things where you don't really understand or have gratitude until you leave it. Exactly. So, but I love going back home, and we would go down to the farm stands, in the lower valley, and he loved to do that. And we just, you know, buy a bunch of stuff. I remember even going to the cannery when I was real little, and we would can peaches and pears and cherries, with my mom and my grandmother.
I heard whispers of an apple pie over there.
Yeah, my dad makes that. He would make an apple pie. He made tremendous apple pie. So that's what I remember. So that's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
That's an homage to my dad.
Sure.
But cherry pie was good. This was very good, actually. The cooking the cherries was a stroke of genius.
If you want to get a hold of the cherry pie recipe we made with Kyle that day, the recipe was not one but two strokes of genius, head to food52.com. We'll also post it in the show notes. And you can see Kyle in the new reboot of Twin Peaks. It's on Showtime at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. This episode of Burnt Toast was produced by Gabrielle Lewis and me, Kenzie Wilbur. Thanks also to Amanda Hesser and Meryl Stubbs, the founders of Food 52, and to Andy Bowers at Panoply. Our ad and theme music is by Joshua Rule Dobson, and all other music is by Blue Dot Sessions and Signal Sounds NYC. Our logo is designed by Abby Lossing. Please let us know what you think of the show. You can leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help. Or you can get in touch. Email us anytime at burnttoast@food52.com. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much for listening. This episode of Burnt Toast is brought to you by Jet.com, a shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the things you're buying anyway. Producer Gabrielle Lewis, what's in your Jet.com cart right now?
I'm getting ready to host a brunch, so I've got some yogurt, some orange juice, smoked salmon.
Can I come to the brunch?
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, no. There are no membership or annual fees. You just head to the site and start adding to your cart. For 20% off your first two fresh orders, visit Jet.com and enter the code BurntToast at checkout.